Māori Mike and I Hōtaka. Welcome to the panel on RNZ National. Coming up on the program, Black Ferns player Tukurangata Aringamata says she's had a mental breakdown on tour, and disparaging comments from coaching staff led to anxiety and hyperventilation. We discuss with senior sports reporter at Stuff Zoe George right after four. Auckland recorded a net population decline for the first time ever. 13,500 people quit Auckland in the past year in search of an affordable house, a better life. We talked to one ex-Aucklander who relocated to a small village in the middle of the North Island. Also on the panel, a grandmother has taken to social media to share her distress at not being paid enough to babysit her grandson. "I'm not a daycare, I have my own life," she said. Also, would you pay $7 for your flat white? One cafe owner says that is where the real price needs to be for cafes to stay viable. You can text us on that, 2101, or email the panel at rnz.co.nz. With me this afternoon, Janet Wilson, columnist for the Dominion Post and the Press and co-founder of media training organisation Deadline Limited, also former Chief Press Secretary to Judith Collins. Janet, kia ora, welcome to the panel.
Kia ora, how are you?
I am very well, Janet. Nice to have you on. Also
lovely
with me, yeah, and also with me today is Sam Johns, the Chief Executive of the Student Army Foundation and social entrepreneur. Sam, welcome to you too.
Kia ora, Wallace. Nice to be here.
Now, if you want to listen back to the panel, just head to rnz.co.nz/thepanel, and the program is right there to listen to and to share. First up, for our story of the day, we thought this might capture your interest. What is the role of music in supermarkets? Ever find you tapping your fingers against the trolleys or whatever is playing? A Guardian article raises the issue on whether or not it is mind control and cites an expert on the subject, Professor Adrian North. He's based at Curtin University. And Professor North found that people were prepared to spend the most when classical music was playing, about 20% more apparently. And he goes on to say that he's quite surprised that this isn't exploited more by large supermarket chains. So he thought we might delve more into the issue with Marilyn Giroux, who's a senior lecturer in marketing at AUT. Marilyn, kia ora.
Hi.
So what pleasure to have you on. So the role of, we know that nothing's the chance in supermarkets, right? So what is the role of music in supermarkets, or is it just a bit more random in New Zealand?
I would say it's probably a bit more random, and it's still, the research in terms of supermarkets is still quite limited. There's a lot of research done more, I would say, in restaurants and more like shopping environment done, showing that music is really influencing the time we spend, what we buy. Supermarkets are now starting to realize there might be something to tap into, but definitely it seems like music also influences a more what we call utilitarian type of purchase. So something that we were looking less for an experience, but just to go, shop and go type of. So yes, it's definitely influencing what we buy and what we do.
Marilyn, what did you make of this particular research? And were you actually surprised by this, that if you pop on classical music as opposed to, you know, the pop hits of today, spending rises?
It's not necessarily surprising, because we found my student and I, we kind of did a similar research in New Zealand, actually in Grayland and Ponsonby, and we found similar results that show that classical music increase the time people spend in store, the amount they spend, and also the type of product they buy.
Good grief.
So it's not surprising. However, I think a lot of people think that because pop is more maybe something that you like to dance along or you're tapping your finger to, it's a bit more effective. But actually, yeah, classical music seemed to lead to a little bit more higher purchase and spending around grocery stores and convenience stores.
Well, how about that? What about you, Jen? All I know is that when I hear a favourite song, it might be a little bit of Toto down a Pack and Save or Countin' or wherever we do our shopping. You know, you're not along to it, you hum along. But what do you make of this?
I'm just wondering why classical music?
Yeah.
And what kind of classical music would lead people to, you know, put their hands in their pockets more and pay more for that? I mean, you know, music has a huge influence on your mood, doesn't it? So anything that lifts your mood will be a positive, I suspect.
Yes, definitely.
What is it about relaxation? That if you actually just get into a relaxed mood, you take a slower meander around the supermarket and then you actually put more in the trolley and you're sort of in a joyous mood and think, oh, yes, well, I might as well get that product or that product.
Marilyn?
Yeah, there's kind of, I think, two main explanations for that. The first one might be the slower tempo. And yes, there's research that shows also that people spend more time in a restaurant when the tempo is a bit slower. People order more drinks, they order more food. So there's definitely this that puts you a little bit in a slower kind of mood. The other thing is also, I think, about what we call congruence or fit between the products. So classical music can fit with certain type of products. So that's why luxury and maybe more high-end products fits a little bit better. So of course it puts you in that frame of mind of thinking a little bit more luxury products and a bit maybe more into like spending more into, you know, products that are a bit more expensive, more for yourself than other types of products.
Goodness. So if you next week start hearing Beethoven's Piano Concerto No. 5 when shopping, don't blame the panel. We just brought it up. But if it is the case, you did your own small study in Ponsonby. Professor North, he's the expert in this. He said it's absolutely, without a doubt, that classical music does increase spending, in fact, by about 20%. Are the supermarkets in Aotearoa missing a bit of a trick?
I think they're definitely missing a bit of a trick. but is classical music actually the thing they need to get into? Not always, but they definitely should use more music. In terms of like I said, maybe finding music that fits a little bit better with what they want to project, the type of course, like the season, even the weather. There's some research done that shows that you can mix your music with the weather and actually also increase sales because people, when it's raining, want a certain type of music. So I think classical music is not necessarily the recipe for everything, but thinking more about the music is definitely something that shops should think more about.
And of course, Janet, nothing is left to chance, right, when it comes to supermarkets. Everything is planned down to the nth degree, where products are placed, the categories of item on what shelf. It's all highly mapped, isn't it?
Yeah, it is. It is, except the great variance in the midst of all of this are people like you and me who may come in and be having a fabulous day and it has no effect on us, or we may be having a terrible day and it just makes us grumpier, So you can get, our minds are being controlled by the supermarkets is one way of thinking about it. And the other way of thinking about it is we control our own minds and decide how we're going to react to whatever they're trying to do to us.
Yeah, someone says an old boss of mine, when I was in the clothing trade, made a mosaic uneven floor to slow the potential buyers down when walking around the store. Sam, I don't know how aware you are of your surroundings when you are in the supermarket, or indeed, do you feel a little sort of, not brainwashed, but are you cognizant of all the little techniques they have to control you?
A couple of points. So first, we actually do a lot of shopping at supermarkets for other people at the moment as a part of Student Volunteer Army's response to COVID. And it's really interesting when you go and shop for someone else, because suddenly you're going to a different part of the supermarket and you're buying products that you've never come across before. You're having to search. It's kind of like this weird type of orienteering. And it is funny that, the effect of music on you then would actually probably make you slow down and think a bit more rather than being panicked of, oh, God, where's the Aunt Betty's puddings, or where's this or where's that you've never purchased before? So that's an interesting one. And the second one, I think, is just on different people have different experiences on different supermarkets. And I remember back when I had a head injury, going to the supermarket was a really traumatic time because it was just so overwhelming. There were so many different things. Mm. So perhaps classical music then would have actually been a good thing.
Nice to have you on the program, Marilyn. Kia ora, and thanks for your time. That's Marilyn Giroux, the Senior Lecturer at Marketing in AUT. Someone says back in the day, in sensitive New Age workshops, the facilitators used to play classical music, mainly Vivaldi, to calm people while they were writing on their flip charts. Alternatively, I read that some music makes some people's blinking rates slow down, so they are in a hypnotic state while shopping, says Tunney. A bit of response regarding the grandmother expecting to be paid, or wanting to be paid, rather, because, you know, she's not a daycare. I find it's a total privilege to be able to look after my grandchildren. The grandmother would be best to say she doesn't want to look after her grandchildren rather than being expecting to be paid. We talk about that at 25 past four today. I've been thinking, it's time for let's go to Janet Wilson. Janet, you first.
Thanks, Wallace. Lots of news around at the moment, obviously, on COVID, and there were a couple of stories just today on stuff that really jumped out at me. One was from Michelle Duff on misinformation and the fact that it's here in New Zealand. And the other was from Todd Nile on how in Auckland everyone's started to park illegally because, well, they're just over it, right? They've just had enough. They've had 107 days in lockdown.
I saw Todd's article, yeah.
They've had to negotiate the traffic light system, and they are completely over it. And I think that is the zeitgeist at the moment in all of Aotearoa, that we're over it. But we're at 93% for our first of people having a first dose. If we could get now, the hard work begins really for those who are not anti-vaxxers, because you can't save the anti-vaxxers. It doesn't matter where you go. But it's the hard conversations with the hesitance that we need to be having. And one person came to mind on the other side of the political divide on this, who has proven to be something of a beacon and a light, and that is Shane Tupou. He has been on social media quite a lot lately, with almost a masterclass on how to talk to people about getting the vaccination and why it is good for them to get the vaccination. Because, of course, if you're hesitant, you're going to resist being told what to do and how to do it, which is half the problem, isn't it?
Yeah. So Shane will be listening to this. So heads up to
Shane. I hope he is.
Yeah.
Big ups, Shane.
Big ups, Shane. Kia ora for that, Sam Johnson, I've been thinking.
I've been thinking builds a wee bit on what Janet said around Shane Tupou, around learning to talk to someone who is perhaps vaccine hesitant or an anti-vaxxer. And I want to say that in the context that yesterday was International Volunteering Day. So I wanted to give a big shout out and a thank you to all the volunteers and actually just all of us around the country who are doing so much to support various projects and activities at the moment. And International Volunteer Day happens once a year when you sort of really get to recognise and thank the people who do so much unpaid work. And that, you know, that does include the grandmothers and grandparents and other things that would happen later on. But it is just such a moment to stop and say thank you. But often what gets missed out in the volunteering is just that the acts of service, which may be learning to have a conversation with a vaccine hesitant person and taking the time to educate yourself properly so you can have that conversation. And that's what we're doing a lot of focus on at the moment, is how you train yourself to do that and how to do it. So for International Volunteer Day, if nothing else, learn how to have that conversation so you can actually help us all out and do your bit.
Fantastic words from the head, or former head rather, of the Student Volunteer Army. Were you all volunteers when you started that? You didn't get paid?
No, all volunteers when we started. I still work for the thing. We now are a more professional organisation, so I have thousands Amazing. Of volunteers around Gosh. The country, as well as some paid staff.
Good on you. Wonderful. I've been thinking of both of you. We have Janet Wilson and Sam Johnson on the panel this afternoon, and there's a lot to discuss, so do stay with us here on the panel, RNZ National 4 to 5.